General Meetings, Columbus, Kentucky, September 1972. Gospel by John Lloyd.
My dear ones, we're coming to the close of another meeting. How good it is to have been here, and I'm sure all have enjoyed it. But we always hate to come to the time to say goodbye, isn't it? But you know, for those that know the Lord as Savior, there's coming a time when we'll be together and there will be no goodbye said. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes. Just to rejoice. So, if there's one here tonight that's not ready to go, why, don't miss the opportunity. Yes, take the Lord, and let you be at that great gathering in the glory where there won't be any goodbyes said. May we turn to number three. Number three. My hope on nothing less is built than Jesus and the blood he spilt. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, wholly lean on his blessed name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Someone started.
My hope
on.
to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm going to take up where our brother Dan left off. Yes. Starting with verse 1 of the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of my own. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Turn over now to Proverbs. Just a verse or two in Proverbs. I believe it's the 14th chapter. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Turn over to the 16th chapter, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now you wonder why I read the same verse twice. Well, you know, it just struck me that God had that recorded twice, just two chapters apart, right there. And we've had in the ministry here of the last days, and how man is departed from the true way to God. True way. Now tonight, I seek to talk to you about going to heaven, being saved, being with the Lord in the glory. Now,
Now, we know that statistics tell us that man has over 1,500 different ways to God in this world. 750 of them are in America. But God has one way. The Lord Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. The way. We know that man started out in the beginning. Another way to God. God provided a way to him, but he didn't like it. Cain. Name was mentioned today in Jude. Yes, Cain. Went in the way of Cain. Are you going tonight in the way of Cain? Look on. Now we know that one of the greatest things of today is, one of the things of smoothing the conscience of people and just lulling them along, is to be a good, moral, upright citizen. Treat everybody right, pay your just and honest debts, and you'll be all right. Well, I'll tell you, that'll keep you out of jail, but it won't get you in heaven. We're talking about going to heaven tonight, not staying out of jail. No. So, it's knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, receiving Him as Savior. Yes, I was talking to a brother since I've been here. And he brought before the fact, the question was asked him, supposing I read the whole Bible, would that save me? No. Well, supposing I memorized half of the Bible, would that save me? No. Well, supposing I memorized all the Bible, would that save me? No. What will save you? It's not knowing about the Lord Jesus that'll save you. It's knowing Him that'll save you. Receiving Him as Savior. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power. I like to use that word power too. The power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. Have you received Him? You received Him. Now we start here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now we know this is speaking of the Lord coming into the sheepfold of Israel. But we seek to preach the gospel. We apply. Now many today are seeking to climb up some other way, out of way of their own. Climbing up. Going to get into heaven some other way. God has provided a way that poor, lost, hell-deserving sinners can come into His presence in the glory. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Yes, that's what John 3:16 tells us. For God so loved the world. Who's the world anyway? It's the people. It's not a planet. This is the world. Because people are here. God so loved the world. What did He do? He gave His only begotten Son. Yes, He did. He didn't say, if you'll do this, if you'll do that, you can have Him. Didn't put a price on it. No, salvation is free without money and without price. It's put into the reach of every individual in the world. He don't have to have one nickel in his pocket to be saved. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have to do one item thing to be saved. We was talking to some brothers outside the other day about the two thieves on the cross. Yeah. They were both nailed to the cross. Now, what could they do? Boy, you'd have told one to get down and do this. He couldn't do it. Told him to do that. He couldn't do it. They forgot to nail the tongue, though. And so, one says to the Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's all he did. That's all he did. What did he do? Oh, I'll tell you. He got a ticket to glory. Ticket to glory. Yes. The Lord Jesus said, this day, oh, not tomorrow, the next day, or a week or a year from now. Oh, no, this day, present, thou shalt be with me. Who else did he want to be with? Who else would you rather be with than the Lord of glory? I'll tell you what, the majority of people in this room here tonight, their hope, expectation, is to be with the Lord. To be with the Lord. Oh, I mentioned a while ago about going to heaven. Wow. But my expectation is not to go to heaven. It's to go be with the Lord. Yes. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. Oh, the Lord's in heaven. Good. So, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's as far as he knew. If he'd have told him where he would be, he wouldn't have known it. But the Old Testament, those people knew about paradise. So what did he do? Well, he exerted about as small amount of faith as anyone I know in Scripture to get a definite promise that he would be with the Lord. Now, he had a definite promise of it. You can't find any much smaller faith. It only takes a small amount of faith to be saved, but don't take any to be lost. Oh, no, you're lost already. So now, are you climbing up? Are you trying to work your way into heaven? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Well, the Lord knew they were trying to win their way to heaven. Yeah, they was trying to fix them away there. Come unto me. He didn't say come unto to the temple. He didn't say come unto Judaism. He didn't say come to Moses' law. Come to him, the one who has life. Yes, I come, as I read there a few minutes ago, that they might have life. And have it more abundantly. Now, you ever one of us in this room's got life tonight, then you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't. But everyone in this room, if the Lord doesn't come, gonna lose that life you got. Sure is. There coming a time to go away. Sure is. But the Lord Jesus wants you to have abundant life. Life everlasting. That's an abundant life. Oh, yes. He knew that he was going to the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood that they might have that abundant life. And he wants you to have it. Wants you to have it. So, I want to dwell on this first verse. I read this verse the other day and it just struck me. I've read the 10th of John, and no doubt all in this room have read it many a time. We love the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. But we've looked at it as the side of a shepherd. Yes, the Lord is a shepherd. The Lord is a door. The Lord is our Savior. The Lord is everything to a believer. But if you go out of this world without Him, He'll be a judge of yours. He'll be your judge. Oh, yes. Yes. So, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way. Well, we'll look at the sheepfold here tonight as the assembly, or into the to God, coming to Him. Yes. And so look how people today, every way, are climbing up. They don't climb down, do they? Well, they're going to rob a building or something other. If you turned on your radio in the morning, I suppose, in Rome, we turn on the radio, and there are 3 or 4, 5 or 6 robbers every night. You find where somebody climb up on top of the building, climb up under the roof, broke into this thing, climb up. They're always climbing up and trying to get there. Yes, robbing. Are you going to try to get another way into heaven? God says, if you do, you're nothing but a thief and a robber. Now, if I was to point my finger at you and tell you you're a thief or a robber, you'd want to come up here and take me down, wouldn't you? You wouldn't much blame me. But God's looking at you. He knows that you are. Yeah? Trying to steal your way into heaven. I want to tell you right now, you look, ain't make it. Ain't make it. Because God has provided one way to get there. Just one. Don't need no other way. God didn't need 2, 3 ways to get there. But God's provided a way that everyone can get there. Now we know that there was a time that mostly it was Israel. If you wanted to know anything about God, you had to go to the Jew or to an Israelite. Oh no, you don't have to today.
You don't have to even go to the preacher. Just own to God you're a sinner. And tell him you'll take Jesus as Savior. And God will save you. That's all I've done. And I want to tell you, you'll be saved forever. Climbed up some other way. Well, as I said a moment ago, first man in this world, that's exactly what he wanted to do. God provided a way that they could approach it. Cain and Abel. Well, Abel was abiding by what God said. And it's no doubt in my mind, God accepted it. The reason I know God accepted it, because Cain got mad about it. If God hadn't accepted it, why Cain wouldn't have got mad about it? No. So Cain, he wanted another way. And he got so mad about it that he killed his brother. The first man that's ever born in the world was a murderer. The first man that's ever murdered in the world was because of God. And they're still doing it. Satan wanted to stamp out the testimony of God to start with. He's still seeking to stamp it out. But all I think of Matthew 16, where the Lord said that to Peter. Yes, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Or if you go back down the time of history, you can see how the gates of hell has prevailed against it. One of the outstanding infidels said if there ever was a hell, it was a, what the church of God had gone through in this world. Yeah, if there was a hell. Well, Satan is still just alive, much alive today. And I was certainly enjoyed the fact that the brethren picked the little book of Jude. Brings us right down to this time. Yes, brings out apostasy. Just rejecting God. Just casting God off. People don't want God in their mind. And the little verse, I believe it's 12. Can't remember it. I could turn to it. But the twice dead, plucked up by the roots. What people are today. Now you're dead in your trespasses and sin. Now, everyone that's without the Lord Jesus Christ in this room, he's dead in trespasses and sin. But he's not yet twice dead. But if you go out of this world without the Lord Jesus, you lose every connection to God there is. Whenever you draw your last breath here, you've lost your connection. If you're not saved, you're plucked up by the roots. Yeah, got no more connection. We were in business for a good many years. In our business, we did clearing and grading. And you cleared off sites of buildings and all these buildings. And in the specifications, it would say all trees removed and the roots. Didn't want anything left. None of that. All the trees removed and the roots. Whenever you go out of this world without the Lord Jesus, every root to God is cut loose. So there's no hope. Not a thing. That's when you're twice dead. Sure. Well, there used to be a brother had an independent church there. And he had a neon sign across the door that read like this. And I've often thought about it. Born once and die twice. Born twice and die once. Slips. Thought it was a good sign. Yes. At night, it sort of linked up, blinked, you know. People would notice it. And that's true. If you were just born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll never die once. You may not die then. The Lord may come.
But if it doesn't, you don't have to die once. Now we know that Cain, that's where the rejection of God started with the first man. And it's still going on today. It's picking up momentum, as we might say. Now you come on down after the flood. God had started back in the world again. What did man do? What did he do? Well, he wasn't satisfied with the ways in which God had provided for him to meet him. He's going to build him a tower to heaven. Build him a tower to heaven. Sure was. And I've often said, you know, I was interested in that when I was a boy. I read about that. My dad read about it a lot. And in Rome, there was a lot of prophecy taught in Rome. The Barnwells enjoyed prophecy. And I enjoyed it too. Thank God I listened a little, you know. And I just thought about those folks. I used to use this expression. Well, they was going to build them a tower up there. And they was going up there and see how it looked. And if it looked, they might just stay. If it didn't, they'd turn around and come back, see. Oh, God didn't allow that. God didn't allow it. No. What did he do? Go there and knock that tower down? No. No, he didn't do that. No, they just built it right back. He brought about one of the worst things this world knows. That's the confounding of the language. That's different languages. They tell me there's 14 different dialects spoken in the city of London. They say you go in one part of London and you go in the other part, you can't understand a word they say. And I say, I can't understand a word you know I'm saying anywhere. So, I had a tape, Brother Albert Hayhoe. He made me a tape. I asked to write me a letter. He said, wouldn't do that. Made me a tape. It was an hour and a half long on his trip around the world. I don't like to use that word around the world, but there wasn't nothing else to say. That's what he done. He went around the world. And he went in, I believe it was 14 different countries. And every one of them, and some of them spoke more than one language. Well, I said, Albert, how did you get by with your language? I didn't know you spoke 17 different languages. Oh, he said, no. I spoke about one or two, and my wife spoke about one or two, and we put them together and mixed them up. We got by, that by. But he said that was the biggest barrier they had, was a language barrier. How come that away? Because man wanted to climb up to God his way. It's all coming. That's what brought it about. Man wanting to climb up to God. And God confused the language. And I want to tell you, if you go on down this life rejecting that little quiet, still voice that speaks to your heart and soul day by day, urging you to take the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, one day you'll get confounded. That's right. Remember, my spirit does not always strive with man. Not always strive with man. My brother-in-law married my oldest sister. I feel free to tell it. This is in the family. Well, he didn't know the Lord. And all the brothers that come there from time to time talked to him. He took this attitude. And you'll be surprised at the people that take this in the world today. Well, that's all right. I'm just as good as any of them, brethren. If they get there, I'm not worrying. I'll make it. Oh, I'm all right. I'm just as good as so-and-so goes to church over here. I'm just here. Yeah. Self-righteous. Oh, yes. That's what Satan wants you to be stuffed full of, is self-righteous. But the Lord Jesus said, I come not to call the righteous, that's self-righteous, but sinners to repent. Oh, yes, you must take the place of a sinner. Well, I heard one of the laboring brothers say one time, there'd been enough gospel preached to him to save everybody in Georgia. Georgia's a pretty good-sized place. Georgia. I believe that. The last time I saw him alive, of course, my sister, she died several years before. He remarried, married a nice woman, lived down in Atlanta in a good home. I went down to see Val. He was a plumber and a steam fitter. He was sitting in a wheelchair. House of old bone. It was the beginning of World War II. Hans talked to Balf a little bit. And he said, "Oh, John, I'll be out making some of this good money just for long." And said, "I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Yeah, Diamond TV. And yeah, I'll be all right. Sure will." I said, "Balf, what you need is the Lord. You need the Lord as your Savior. You need to take Jesus. When you go out of this house, Balf, they're going out feet first." Well, he said, "Don't you know my stomach since then?" And about 8 weeks, he went out feet first. Feet first. And his wife said this. At his dying moments, he was screaming and crying, holding it, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, Lord, help me. I won't save you. I won't save you." All he had to done was to take Jesus to save you. So, praying won't save you. Brother Larson used to say, "You can go to hell praying. Go to hell praying." Preacher Wright used to say this. One of the greatest prayer meetings that ever will be helped in hell. Well, I know we know that's so, but that was an expression he used. Yes. Because the man in the 16th of Luke, that's what he was doing, was praying. He's still praying, too. He's no nearer out than he'll ever be. Remember, one that goes out of this world without the Lord Jesus is lost just as long as one that takes Jesus as Savior is saved. Right. Yeah. He's got everlasting life. God wants to give to you everlasting life. Yeah. Everlasting life. A man in the jail said to me one time, "Preacher, that's a long time." I said, "Yes, it's a long time. Sure is. But I've got it. God wants to give it to you. God wants to give it to you." Well, I will go along. And so tonight, are you a thief or a robber, or are you a child of God? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord is Savior? If you don't, that's what God says. Because you are trying to get to heaven some other way. I don't know what other way. But when you go back and find out the religions of man, the other way, any other way that other than what God has provided, man has got a works platform in it. A works platform. You want to stand on that? Stand on that? No, it won't do. It won't do. Well, we'll go on. But he that entereth by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Does the Lord Jesus know your name? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If it isn't, when you going to get it wrote then? Yeah. We've got no promise of tomorrow. The only promise of any time that you or I have got is N-O-W. Now is not 1 minute back, nor not 1 minute ahead. Now is now. I'll stop to tell you this. It's really woke me up. Many years ago, I'd kind of got away from the Lord a little. And the Lord used it for blessing. I don't say get away from the Lord to get blessing now. Don't misunderstand that. But I'd been to a cottage prayer meeting. It is in a home. And the prayer meeting was over with. I was going out the door, and the lady of the house said, "Mr. Lloyd, how you feel tonight?" "Oh," I said, "I feel fine. I just feel fine." I said, "I hope I feel like this as long as I stay here." She looked at me and said, "How long have you got promised to stay here?" I sort of looked around a little bit. I said, "I don't know. I just don't know, sister." She says, "In a moment and a twinkling of an eye, he's coming." That's right. That's all the time the believer's got promised him. How much more time you want? I'm ready. I don't need any more time. Is anyone here tonight not ready? You'll be left behind. And we've been going through the book of Revelation in our reading meeting at home. No, I'll tell you, it's hard to believe all the judgments will come on this poor old world when the Lord's people's gone. I'm not worrying me about it. Out of bed. I'll be gone. But I'll just, what about those who are left behind? Oh, just think in one moment. Every child of God is gone. Gone. Where are they gone? Gone to be with the Lord. As a brother said in Chicago, I believe it was, someone had a paper already printed, "The Lord's coming." Yes. I just wondered when he told that, if that man's ready to go. That man's ready to go. Yes. The whole world, you can talk to people today that cares nothing about the Lord, don't want to talk about the Lord, but they'll tell you, something's got to happen to this thing down here. Something's going to happen. Oh, yes. Those that know the Lord is Savior knows what's going to happen. The Lord's coming. So now we must go on to the lovely part of this. And that is, his sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now are you one of his sheep? He is, he's ready to lead you out. Lead you out of what? Lead you out of what Satan has led you in. That's right. You can't find your way out. Not at all. But the Lord Jesus, if you'll take him as Savior, is ready to lead you out of it. Yes. Won't you let him lead you out of it? Oh, I'll tell you, boys and girls, men and women, if you have seen what I have, for the past 23 years of where Satan has led people, you could certainly see what awfulness he's led them to. I could stand here for another hour or two and tell you of the prayer they've led them to. And it leads them to suicide. And it leads them to the electric chair. Since I've been going to Rome, there have been 7 went out of there to the electric chair. And there's about 3 sitting there waiting on it now. Sure. Oh, yes. That's where Satan will lead you. But if you'll take Jesus as Savior, he'll lead you into the glory. That's where he'll lead you. Oh, yes. That's the difference. He'll call them by name and lead them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and his sheep followeth him, because they know his voice. This verse, many years ago, was quite a joy to my heart and soul. That's why I say I've enjoyed the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. But I just always run over the first verse. I don't know why I did, but I just sort of read it lightly and just sort of run over it. But the other night I stood down and read it, and the Lord stopped me. I said, "I did. The hover is climbing up." But here we've got, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Isn't that lovely in the Lord? The Lord doesn't say, "Well, go on down through yonder, and if you make it, it's all right. If you don't, I'll come along and see how you're doing." Oh, no.
No, no. The Lord's been down the road from us. The Lord's been down the road. He's gone before us. What a wonderful Savior we've got. What a wonderful Shepherd we've got. What a wonderful Lord we've got. Oh, yes. To have someone to go before you in this dark, dreary world. Because the brainiest people in our country today don't know which way to turn. Admit it. Don't know which way to turn. Yes. They'd only turn to the Lord and get on their knees before the Lord, they'd find a way to turn. But no, Satan's got their eyes blinded. But thank God for the individual that knows the Lord as Savior. For they know His voice. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Many a child of God, they may not know much about the Scriptures. This is what you receive when you take the Lord Jesus as Savior. You receive the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead. You receive one which is able to guide you, one which is able to lead you, one which is able to teach you. Yeah, that's one of the gifts you have. If you're without the Lord Jesus, you don't have it. You cannot have it. Why can't you have it? The question was asked me once. Why can't you? Because if the Holy Spirit will not dwell in a dirty place. But the blood of Jesus applied to my heart and soul and yours makes me clean enough inside for the Spirit of God to come and dwell. Isn't that wonderful? I have to be cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. That's why over and over in the gospel you are exhorted to take Jesus and to be washed in that precious blood. That's why the Lord Jesus shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, that you and I might be cleansed from our sins. Oh, yes. It's the blood that atones for the soul. Now, I have to stop giving breath every once in a while. That's all right. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which he spake unto them. Now, that's a parable the Lord used. Now here we get where the Lord is speaking himself. He spoke the other, of course. But now the Lord Jesus changes, makes it a little more simple. Just comes down to what he is. And he says this. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Yes. No other door. No other door. I am the door. Yes. Now, are you climbing up hunting another door? That's what they were doing in the first verse. Is climbing, hunting another door. Or maybe finding and trying to find a window. Trying to find a scuttle hole or something other. I'm the door. Yes. You know that door is big enough to take in every sinner. I don't care if he's fat, if he's little or not. That door will take him in. But it's narrow enough to cut out all sin. That's why you have to be washed in that precious blood to get in that door. I am the door. And I've often said, everybody goes to heaven single file. God does not save collectively. Every man must give an account of himself to God. I've used this illustration no doubt here before. I've used it many times. And no doubt I'll use it many more times. Now, my wife and I were married 11 years before this little girl born in our home. Well, we were just crazy about her. We just loved her. Well, we just told her and look at her. And I'd say, Mama, she'll have to do with God for herself.
I couldn't even. I could bear up to the Lord, pray for sure before she's even born. But she had to go in that door, as Brother Paul says, on her own steam. That's right. So, he says, all the animals walked up the gangplank in the dark on their own steam. And that's what we have to do to get into the glory. You have to take Jesus, your own self. Make no difference how much me and her mother loved her. We couldn't take Jesus for her. We can't do it. And I want to say to you parents, who have been one myself, I know how you feel about it. I know how you feel about it. I spoke to young boys and girls, and their parents was there. No doubt as many.